This is Global Air Force. Your host, Dr. James F. Lowe.
Praise the Lord. It is another beautiful day. Today we are going back to that country of India, a country of millions of people and many contrasts. Today on our program, we have for the third time Donna McCabe. Donna has founded a ministry. Her ministry is Ready for the Harvest. Hi, Donna. It's so nice to have you back on our program.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing just great today.
Fabulous.
Your ministry has grown since I first met you. You're now international Ready for the Harvest ministry. And you've been focusing on going to India for the last 3 years.
For the moment, that's where God has me focused. And I've been there 3 times. I just love it. I fell in love with the people.
Oh my, the stories we hear from India. These people really draw our attention to their country, to their lives.
Yes, they do.
There's such a contrast of God in us and their need. How many people go with you when you go to India?
When I go, I have to take a small team because we stay in somebody's home with them.
Okay.
We team. So I have 4 people that usually travel with me, so 5 total.
Okay, 5. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all you can handle as a manager.
It's a good number. It makes it easy to make sure everybody's with us. We didn't lose anybody. It makes it easy to just keep track of everybody and meet, make sure everybody's needs are being met with whatever they're facing on the trip. It's not always an easy trip, but it's always well worth it and life-changing.
Now, you said it's not a very easy trip, but before we get on to that, how do you get to India? Does somebody invite you? How did you get started?
I got started when I went with a couple that I'd gone to school with. They were wanting to do miniature, like shortened global schools all around India. And I went with them. It was 2011. I went with them for the first time. I was there for 3 weeks. We went to Andhra Pradesh and stayed with a pastor. We did a pastor's school. So we had 50 pastors that were there that we were teaching. And from the get-go, like, God totally broke my heart for India and the people of India. I never wanted to go there. I'm just being honest. It was like the last place I ever wanted to go. But out of obedience to a vision that God had given me, I decided I needed to go. And so I went with them, and it was wonderful. He just broke my heart the whole time I was there for the people of India, for the country, for the poverty, for just everything. I love the people there. I love the food. I love everything about it. It's just this fun, whimsical place where it seems like it's chaos, but somehow it all fits together and there's order within it. And God loves India. He loves the people of India.
Now, this last trip, you were there, you left January 17th of this year.
Yes.
And you came back, I guess it would be after the 5th of February. That's a fairly long time.
It is. 5 days of that, though, is travel.
Okay. I see on your itinerary, 24-hour train ride.
Yes.
Oh.
It wasn't that bad. You know, you fly. We left my house around 11 in the morning, drove to Washington, D.C., waited at the airport, got on the plane, had a stopover in Zurich, made it to Mumbai. got in Mumbai, I think it was at 11 o'clock at night or 11:30, and had to catch the train at 5 in the morning. So we had just enough time to go get a hotel, get everybody showered, and then leave to go get on the train. But then you have this nice 24-hour train ride where you can just sleep.
Okay.
And get rested. And then, yeah, we got in at 5 in the morning into Orissa, and 5 Sunday morning, and I preached at 9 or 10 o'clock that morning.
Okay, well, now a 24-hour train ride. Now, the movies that I've seen about train rides in India, there's chickens and animals in there and all kinds of luggage and bicycles, and there's people on the roof and hanging on the windows. Well, how was that train ride then?
Fortunately for us, at least from Mumbai into Orissa, we had booked the train tickets far enough in advance that we had a second-class AC sleeper train. So, cabin. So what that means is we each had our own little lay-down area, our own little bunk bed, if you will.
Okay.
With a curtain. And so we could close the curtain. Oh, it's always an adventure. So, yeah, the other part was we were really hungry when we got on the train. We didn't have a chance to get food. And so the first thing we get on the train was some sort of a spicy chicken curry thing. And I thought, I was telling one of my team members, because if you put lime, squeeze like fresh lime or fresh lemon on the curry, it takes the fire out. So it's not quite as spicy.
No kidding.
No kidding. I know. Who would have guessed, right?
I know. Well, we're getting all these tips here for other people to want to join you when you go back to India.
That's right. But I told them they had this little packet that had like a lemon on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that must just be the lemon juice to put the fire out. So he opens it up and he puts it on his stuff. It was lemon pickle.
Oh, I don't know.
Which was even spicier.
Ooh, spicy. Uh-huh.
Mm. I felt so bad, but it's part of, you know, it's part of the experience of India.
Yeah, and it usually feels worse later.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
Okay, well, some advice there for people to go to India, watch that lemon pickle.
Watch the lemon pickle or the mango pickle.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's just an adventure, and you always meet people on the train. Like I said, that one was nice because we did get AC sleeper, you know, it was a nice...
Oh, when you say AC, you mean air conditioning?
Yes.
Oh, my, this is not the story I heard about India. I must be watching old movies.
Well, now, we were going from Orissa into Andhra Pradesh. We were in a sleeper car that did not have AC.
Mm, okay.
And so that one was not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because the windows, they're normally open all the time in the most of the hot summer months. But we were there in the winter. And so it's cold at night, especially when you're in a moving vehicle. Cold air is even colder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are. There's 6 people to a little cubby area. And there's just enough space between the bed that I have and the one above me to where if I'm hunched over all the way, I can kind of, that's like as much room. I have just enough room to get in there and turn around to lay down. And the windows wouldn't stay shut, so the air was coming in, and we froze. It was a night train, but it was so cold. I had a blanket, and I had it up over my head, but it was so cold. I had a jacket on. I couldn't sleep at all. Most of us on our team didn't sleep. It was so cold.
I always picture India scalding hot and humid. Before you left, you asked people on the net and Facebook and from the Global School of Supernatural Ministry and friends, I guess, you prayed for God's discernment in all circumstances.
Yes.
So would you say that prayer was answered?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There were several situations in this last trip where I really needed to know what God's will was and the discernment to know how to proceed. and that prayer was absolutely answered.
For example,
there were a couple times where the person that was hosting us was not feeling well. They were running a fever, so they had to stay behind. And they're like, well, do you just want to go to this meeting? And so just knowing that it was God's heart still for me to go, even though the person that I'm comfortable with wasn't going to be at the meeting, you know? I was just humbled and honored that there was enough trust and respect for me, that our relationship was so strong that he would trust me to go minister to 1,000, 1,200 people without him. That's very honoring. That's very, very honoring. But just having that discernment to know, yes, this is okay, let's go for it. Having the discernment to know when to speak a message in a country like India where women are very not valued.
Okay.
When to go after that, not because it's an agenda that I carry, but because it's the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And having that discernment. And that happened a couple of different times where that message about God loving women, and not to exalt women over men, because we're all spirit. The Bible says it's not neither male nor female, but we're all one in Christ.
Yes.
So I'm a spirit in a woman's body. Somebody else, you're a spirit in a man's body. But we're still spirit. We're the same, and he loves us the same. It doesn't matter that you have a radio show and I go to India. He loves us the same, and we both have great value in his sight. And so that was the heart of the message, not elevating one over the other or promoting one or the other, but knowing that we're all one and we're all loved. And so there were a couple of times where at the first place we were in Orissa, we were at an orphanage, a school of about 850 students.
Oh, my.
Very large. And we got to minister to they call them wardens. It's basically a house mother.
Mm-hmm.
So the house mothers that care for the kids. We had probably 25 women. And that was kind of the heart of the message there, was just God loves you. You're valuable, you know? And as the Holy Spirit came crashing in and into that place, we laid hands on everybody, and the women were out. All but maybe two or three of them were down on the ground for half hour, 45 minutes, just in the spirit. And God was ministering to everyone there, just acceptance and love and destiny. It was really good. And then the next day, we got to meet with some of the older girls in the school. We had maybe 100 of them. And that was what God wanted to release over them too, is it doesn't matter what the world has said about you. God says he loves you. You're treasured. He loves women. If you look at the story of Mary, or the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus wasn't supposed to be talking to her. He came for the Jews. But there he was in the middle of the day talking to the Samaritan woman. She was there in the middle of the day because she was the outcast. Even among her own people, she was an outcast. She had to go there, you know, you don't go to the well in the middle of the day, you go in the morning or the evening. But she had to go in the middle of the day because she had had so many husbands, and the one she was with wasn't her husband.
So she was hiding.
She was hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so, because society, she was the downcast in society. But Jesus went to her and, you know, he told her all about her life. She got so excited that what happened is she goes running into the village. She tells everybody about this man who knew everything about her. The whole village gets saved.
Wow.
She was one of the first evangelists.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, God loves women. He wants to use women. They have a call. They have a destiny. They have a purpose. And so often in these countries, and even in our own country, women are put down or downplayed, or, well, that's for men but not for women. But God wants to utilize women to carry his message every bit as much as men. We're all the same. We're all spirit, and he loves us all.
Mm-hmm. God is love, the Bible says, and there is nothing like the loving touch of a woman. I can't imagine men having that kind of a loving touch.
Exactly. Many do not.
That's what I see.
A few do, but not many.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that discernment to know, okay, this is the message for this time, for this group right now. I had never, ever preached a message about gender. I just don't go there because we're all one. And so when it started stirring in my spirit, I was like, God, what are you doing? And I really needed that discernment to know this is his heart for now. And then especially that night, later on that night, we were doing a pastor's conference there at the school. So we had all the kids from the school, pastors and families, and some of the kids' parents from the school. Ended up being maybe 200 and, or 2,300 people.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, we're sitting there, and I'm talking about the kingdom culture of honor, God's kingdom culture of honor, and we honor and respect each other, and the Bible even says that we should outdo each other in showing honor, you know, in preferring one another. And that was kind of the heart of my message that night. But in the middle of all of it, I'm just being led by the Holy Spirit, and I hear myself say, and God loves women. And the whole side where all the men are sitting, there's like this little rumble that breaks out.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, I know. I'm sitting there going, uh-oh.
Whoops.
But it wasn't my message. And so there was this confidence and this boldness because it was God's message. It was his heart. And I was just able to share, he loves women. He loves men. We're all the same. We're all one in him. And in sharing that, the heart of that message, the rumble eventually stopped. The pastors were back engaged again, and they could see the value in the heart of the message that I was carrying, which was really good.
So this is the wisdom and discernment that God gave you on the spot. You know, the Christian walk is interesting in the sense that we have events. You know, we're not always preaching, teaching. We don't always feel an anointing, but it's an event that happens. It's something we want to happen all the time. And often when it happens, it isn't what we planned, and it might even be out of the area that we don't feel we could talk about. And it just, it's an event, God shows up, and that's almost a sign that is from God, you know?
Exactly.
God does something right in front of us that in the natural we can't do ourselves. What an experience.
Yeah, it was very crazy, very crazy.
That's what she said, and you were asking, you said, when you wanted us to pray, pray for crazy miracles. Crazy miracles? What's that?
I didn't know what that was at the time, but I can give you some examples, tell you some stories.
Okay, you're going to get crazy on me now?
I might.
Oh, Lord help us.
So one of the things that happened, we're eating lunch one afternoon. Pastor John, who's over the orphanage, his son, Maru, was telling me, he's like, did you hear about the plumber? And I was like, no, what happened to the plumber? He fell three stories from one of their buildings and is in the hospital. And that happened like an hour before when we were eating. And immediately, I'm like, we have to go pray for him. Can you make that happen? And, you know, I'm like, thinking, you know, and he looks at his watch, and he's like, okay, it's whatever time, I don't know, 1 o'clock or whatever time it was. And he knew I had to preach that night and tried to make sure that there was enough time to get me and a couple of my team members to the hospital and back so we could pray for this man. So he made it all happen. We got to go pray for this plumber who was a Hindu man. And as we prayed, the power of God came on him. And it was wonderful because he had broken his right arm, his left foot, ankle, I don't know exactly what. He dislocated his right hip and was in excruciating pain. And as we prayed over him, he starts to want to get up and he starts getting really fidgety and they're not letting him up. They don't want him, you know, they're afraid that he's going to hurt himself. And at that point, we dismissed ourselves and went back to the compound. Well, apparently he got totally healed.
Wonderful. Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So that was one of the crazy miracles we got to see. Somebody's hand, their wrist was frozen, so it was like at a 90-degree angle. Their hand wasn't at a 90-degree angle to their arm. And right before one of my team members, as she's praying, it just straightens out.
Oh, my, wonderful. This sounds like the miracles from India that we hear about. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. There was a man who was in the hospital. This is in Andhra Pradesh. He was in the hospital dying. The doctors couldn't do anything for him. And his wife told him, if you come to this meeting, God will heal you. So he checked himself out of the hospital or whatever they do over there. He left the hospital, came to our meeting that night, received prayer. The next day, he was absolutely healed. So those are some pretty fun, crazy miracles.
Oh, wonderful. So this man was in the hospital, in hospital care, and his wife convinces him to get out so that you people can pray for him. Oh, my. And he gets out. And you pray for him, and he's healed. Oh, that's wonderful.
We had this one woman, older woman in Orissa, who had been crippled in pain, couldn't hardly walk for at least 5 years, and she was jumping up and down on stage, so that was really fun. And just so many blind eyes and deaf ears opened. That was like our thing this time. Blind eyes, deaf ears, blind eyes, deaf ears. We lost track of how many. It was really incredible. The one that really story that really touched my heart, I had come down with bronchitis while I was over there towards the end of my trip. And I was not feeling well. And I love this story because it's not about us. You know, we always think we have to have it all together in order to pray for other people, and we don't. God, it's God in us. It's not what we do. It's His love for the person in front of us. And so there I am, sick. We're up in the mountain village we brought some food to feed this group of people from the villages, share a short message with them. I couldn't preach because of my voice, the doctor said I couldn't. So somebody else on my team was preaching, shared a message. And then we were praying for people, and this older man came up and wanted prayer for his knee, so I pray for his knee, and he got really excited because his knee was instantly healed. And then he grabs my hand and he puts it over his right eye, and he holds my hand over his eye, and I knew that he was blind. He needed his sight back in that eye. So I pray just a really short prayer, and I stop and I look at him, and he kind of blinks a little bit, and then he immediately reaches in his pocket and pulls out this Christian tract that he had, and he starts reading it out loud.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
He was so overjoyed. He was like almost in tears. He was just beaming, so excited about what God had done for him. Well, his story was, I want to say 5 years ago, several years ago, he was working in Orissa as a government worker when he lost his sight, and then he lost his job.
How do you lose his sight?
I never found out. That didn't get translated.
Okay.
If he said it, we didn't. That was a double translation.
A double translation.
Yeah, that one was from him to one of the mountain village pastors, and then from the mountain village pastor into the person that was hosting us to that pastor, and then from him into us.
Okay, crazy. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you played that little telephone game, things get lost sometimes.
Okay, I understand.
In the translation, but what happened was he lost his job and moved to the mountains because he couldn't live in the city. He couldn't afford to live there, and so here he is in the mountain village, with the poorest of the poor in India. The workers, farm workers, the outcasts living there among them. And this little team of white people shows up. God shows up and heals him, and he gets his sight back.
Oh, wonderful.
So that was, for me, when I look back at the pictures, that's one of those pictures that just makes my heart sing.
Is that one of the pictures on the Facebook?
Yes.
It is. Okay, I didn't see that one.
Yes, it is. There's a video. I don't know if I have it on my ministry site, but I'll put it there. There's a video of him sharing his testimony.
Wonderful. How do people get to that site, though?
It's Ready for the Harvest on Facebook. On Facebook, it's Ready, F-O-R, the Harvest. It's the word for. And that is the Facebook page. On my website, however, it's the number four.
Okay. Okay, we got that straight.
Yeah, and then it would be a .org because we are a nonprofit.
Okay. That's all the time we have right now. We are going to have you back for the next program, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us more?
Absolutely.
Okay. Would you pray for some of our people today that they too can experience that kingdom of God alive? It's in you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Father God, I thank you for everyone listening. And there are some people here who have never experienced a touch of the Holy Spirit and His power. And I ask right now that you come upon them in your power, that you send the fire of God and the love of God to come and to consume them, to baptize them, to change them from the inside out, that they would know that you're with them, that they would know your presence, that they would know without a doubt that you are God and that you're real in a very real and tangible way. For the people who need healing, God, I ask that you come and bring healing to them, to the person who has ovarian cancer, who has pain in their stomach, in their right lung. Father, we just command healing in that area, the left ear, ear open, all pain go right now in Jesus' name. We just release the healing power of heaven over everybody in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that what I carry is you. And anybody who loves you and believes in you and has accepted you carries that same thing. And so, Father, I ask right now that you awaken that in them. You awaken that hunger in them. You stir that up and you give them the confidence and that boldness to know that you're with them and that when they lay hands on the sick, they'll see them recovered, that when they pray for the demonized, they'll be set free, that they could truly bring the presence and the power of God with them everywhere they go, that your presence is with them, and that they are more aware of your presence, Lord, than all of the problems in the world. It's kind of what we look at. And so I ask, Lord, that you give them eyes to see you and you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Jim. It was a wonderful time.
Thank you for visiting with us today. We had Donna McCabe, and she has the ministry Ready for the Harvest. So, until we meet again, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. You can get in touch with Dr. Jim Rome, or you can contact today's guest by logging on to www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.